Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, September 6, 2024. United Nations investigators accuse Sudan's warring parties and their allied militias of numerous human rights violations.
We found that there are reasonable grounds to believe that both SAF and RSF and their respective allies have committed the war crimes of violence against life and person, in particular murder of all kinds.
And some girls in eastern Equatorial State say lack of sanitary pads presents a problem to students.
We cannot manage to afford these sanitary pads. Sometimes you, like some of us who came from the poor families, you finally say, "Mom, I have a problem, this say. Now, how can I manage it?"
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The lawyer of Callisto Ladu Nyigilo, the former mayor of Juba Town, who was picked from his house by the national security officers in March, says his client has been released from detention Friday. Ladu spent 6 months in detention without trial. His community and church leaders called on the government last month to charge Ladu if he committed any crime or release him. Kenyi Yassin is a South Sudanese human rights activist and a law practitioner. He is currently in the United States. Kenyi, welcome to VOA.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk to us. When did you come to the United States and why are you here?
Yeah, I came to the United States in December 2022 to enroll for my Master of Law degree at Indiana University, Robert H. McKinney Law School. I specialized in international human rights law. Then I graduated in May this year, 2024. I was also a commencement speaker for the LLM program.
Good. And you're just fresh from graduating on issues to do with human rights. What happened in South Sudan to the former mayor of Juba? A lot of law experts and human rights experts are saying his rights were violated because he was picked and his family, his wife, not allowed to see him. His lawyer was struggling to see him. Talk to us about that case.
Okay, actually, most of the media were saying he was arrested. Actually, he was not arrested. He was kidnapped.
Arrest means, what do you mean he was kidnapped?
He was kidnapped because there is no arrest warrant issued for him to be arrested. If somebody is arrested, need an arrest warrant, then you can be arrested. But somebody who is kidnapped, somebody who can be grabbed at any point at night, then without an access to a lawyer, without even family visiting, he has been kidnapped. Yeah, he has been kidnapped. His kidnapping violates the constitution of South Sudan, where the freedom of expression, speech, and opinion is enshrined in our constitutions.
Correct.
Yes.
And why was he, let me use your word, why was he kidnapped?
Actually, he was kidnapped because he was always speaking against the violations that the government is doing.
What kind of violations?
A violation like there is a land grabbing taking place around Juba, or even outside, and I think the government is patrolling. Some elements in the government are patrolling that that they are the one who liberated some communities in South Sudan. I think I remember he was also speaking. The last speech of him, he was talking in a funeral with the bishop, the current bishop Santo was there.
The auxiliary bishop of the Catholic Church.
He was saying that people are saying we are the one who liberated you people. Is Torit. The first liberation war in South Sudan was in Torit. It started in Equatoria in Torit. Then he was asking, is it Torit in Barahazal? He was actually speaking about the facts of what is happening. But our system in South Sudan, people doesn't want you to speak or speak for the truth. They need you to speak according to the tune of the government.
Why?
He was actually saying that people are also asking him, huh? you talk according to the wish of the government, you can also be given something.
Talk to me. I mean, staying behind the bars or in detention for 6 months, and then you are just released like that. Do you know if there were charges pressed against him?
Actually, I think based on the National Security Act, I think they've been given excessive powers to arrest with or without an arrest warrant. He was just released without any charges.
But he was arrested before the bill was passed.
Yes, he was just arrested. I think that one because of the pressure from international communities, from the activists, from civil society organizations. That's why he has been released. I think the release, you know, most people consider him is somebody who could be an obstacle if there's an elections. He can even run. Maybe he's planning to run. He can be a threat to some of the SPLM candidates.
Sorry for interrupting, Kenyi. I listened to Vice President for Economic Cluster, James Waniga, speaking at a gathering in among the host community in Juba, and he said that he watched a video containing Callisto's activities, that he was called, and the governor of Central Equatoria, Agustino Jadala, was also called to watch a video, and he said that Callisto will be produced in a court of law to answer for charges. What do you know about that pronouncement?
I think that was only the baseless allegations by the government. I've seen also some pictures on social media after his arrest. That picture showed that he has been training some men to be soldiers in order to wage war against the government. These are only base allegations because the government has no evidence to arrest him. That's why he was arrested without being charged. Even though there is an evidence, they are supposed to put him on trial within 24 hours, as the law have stated. But they have not done that one. I think it is well known in South Sudan that the normally arrested activists who are speaking the truth, then they'll bring them in a short trial. A short trial to show that next time nobody should also talk against
him. You're talking about like a stage managed trial.
Yes, a stage managed trial. There is no evidence, there is a war. Then at the end, they will say, they've released you. Then people will say, the president is good, he has released the person. But what crime? No. This is the policy.
So talk to me about this situation. The country is. When I spoke to the head of the Electoral Commission, Professor Abenigo, he told me that December 22nd, come rain, come sunshine, there will be elections in South Sudan. And here you are talking about a situation where you can be picked and jailed for some times and then released. And then there's a stage-managed court to show that you've been tried or you've been freed. How does that impact on the preparations for elections? Because it involves campaigning, people going out there to speak freely about their party, their choice of candidates. I mean, how is that going to impact?
I think there is no election that will be conducted because there is no level playing field for all the political parties. This is one. Like, we have national security services. They have restrictions. And, you know, national security, these are the tools of repression for the SPLM government. SPLM government doesn't need
When you
a
talk
permission.
About SPLM government, there's SPLM IO, there's SPLM loyal to President Salva Kiir. Which SPLM are you talking about?
The reason why I use SPLM government, because there is currently transitional government. Yeah, SPLM government does not need security clearance to conduct a rally. But IO needs a security clearance from national security to conduct a rally. That's why I differentiate.
And why would one party need clearance and the other one has a blank check?
Yeah, that means that we still don't have independent institutions. Then coming to your questions, we don't have there's no census conducted to determine the consistency. We don't have consistency for the country.
The constitution of the country.
The constitution is the supreme law of the country.
Yeah, right now the country is operating on a draft constitution, right?
Yeah, for instance, if you go for election now, and there's a dispute between election, we brought the case before the Supreme Court of South Sudan. The Supreme Court can say we cannot able to handle the matters because we don't have constitution. Then automatically...
But how can a country operate without a constitution? Can you? That sounds strange to me.
Yes, it sounds strange because the SPLM government is not ready to have independent institution in South Sudan. They don't have. That's why you see they don't want to implement the agreement as it is. They are the main pillars who can implement the agreement. They don't want it. They don't want to have a check and balance in the country.
What about the transitional constitution of South Sudan? There is that constitution that
yes.
Every office bearer swears allegiance to it.
Yes, I think the constitution of South Sudan, we have it in place since, and there's been violation of the constitution by the SPLM government. They brought the issue of 28 states, they changed, they violate. There are a lot of violations by the constitution, by the government. They don't respect. Why? Because we have a judiciary which is not an effective. If we have an effective judiciary...
Which is, I mean, when you say ineffective, you mean it's not functioning?
It's not dysfunctional judiciary we have in South Sudan.
Why is it like that?
We have because it has been manipulated by the current government in South Sudan. They don't want the judiciary to have independency. Even the parliament is not independent. The parliament can be directed by the executive.
The government is not in the studio here to defend themselves on these pronouncements that you are making. You are a student of law.
Yes.
What is the way forward in this situation where you are calling the judiciary not independent, not effective? What should be done to correct the situation?
Okay, first of all, our judiciary is under-resourced, lacking the necessary funds. Even personnel for territory distribution, impartiality, and independence. You know, if you go to many parts of South Sudan, we have about 75 counties. It doesn't have even a county court. You can get a customary court there. And even these customary courts, they are also a threat to women's rights. Yes. And then for us to have an effective judiciary, then we should also have an effective parliament. Executive, accountable to the judiciary. Then from there we can have a judiciary. Then the judiciary should not be appointed by the presidency.
All right, Kenyi Yassin, thank you so much for coming here to our studios in Washington to talk to us about rule of law, issues of constitution and human rights. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
That's Kenyi Yassin, a South Sudanese human rights activist and a law practitioner who is currently in the United States working on child support cases in the District Court of Southern Indiana. The United Nations investigators accuse Sudan's warring parties and their allied militias of numerous human rights violations that may amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity. Lisa Schrein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The report from a United Nations panel presents a harrowing account of major violations. They include indiscriminate and direct airstrikes and shelling against civilians, schools, hospitals, communication networks, and vital water and electricity supplies. Mona Rishmawi is an expert member of the International Fact-Finding Mission. She says neither the Sudanese armed forces nor paramilitary rapid support forces have clean hands in the conflict, which began nearly 18 months ago.
We found that there are reasonable grounds to believe that both SAF and RSF and their respective allies have committed the war crimes of violence against life and person, in particular murder of all kinds, mutilation, cruel treatment and torture.
The report accuses the warring parties of targeting civilians through rape and other forms of sexual violence, arbitrary arrest and detention. Team member Joy Ngozi Azelo says women and children are among the main victims. She notes conflict-related sexual violence in Sudan has a long and tragic history and often is used as a weapon to terrorize and control communities. She says the RSF in particular has perpetrated these crimes on a large scale in Darfur and in the greater Khartoum area.
Victims recounted being attacked in their homes, beaten, lashed, and threatened with death or harm to their relatives or children before being raped by more than one perpetrator.
The chair of the fact-finding mission, Mohammed Chande Otman, says the true scale of the horrors being committed by the warring parties is yet to be known.
The gravity of our findings and failure of the warring parties to protect civilians underscores the need for urgent and immediate intervention. Our report, therefore, calls and recommends for the deployment of an independent, impartial force to protect civilians in the country.
The investigators also are calling on both sides to the conflict to comply with their obligations under international law and immediately cease all attacks on the civilian population. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we go to Torit in eastern Equatorial State, where many girls say they are not able to buy menstrual hygiene products, which are expensive and inaccessible. Some girls in Torit town say they miss classes for some days because of a lack of sanitary pads. A teacher at African Inland Church Primary School in Torit town says most girls from vulnerable families face difficulties and their students are not able to concentrate during their monthly periods. For VOA News, Kaltuma, Vanessa reports from Torit.
Many girls say they are not able to focus on studies in school because they worry about their menstrual cycle and the lack of hygiene products. Elizabeth Alfred Oswaldo, a student in Father Saturnino Senior Secondary School, says sanitary pads are very expensive for some parents.
We cannot manage to afford these sanitary pads. Sometimes you, like some of us who came from the poor families, you finally say, "Mom, I have a problem, this say. Now, how can I manage it? Before even we grew up, we are not having those things. And who am I to go and afford those things? Why don't you use maybe a piece of cloth?"
Student Akanyu Molly Thomas says she uses pieces of clothes during her monthly period.
For me, I used to put this anger seat, like the one of blanket, because that time when we are in the village, no, even always, even I doesn't know, because since 2014, I've been using that clothes. I'm not comfortable because I can sit few minutes, very fast I can run in the toilet and I check, then I come back. Always a man, it is very intensive. That's why my mother and I was using the piece of clothes.
Sikuku Rose Kasmiro, Chief Inspector of Education in Kapweta Municipality, says many communities in Eastern Equatoria needs awareness about menstruation. She says some communities see it as a taboo and isolate the girls during their menstrual cycles.
If you just see a girl disappearing for one full week, you know very well maybe she's experiencing a problem. Also, the discrimination related to menstrual for a period. We have other communities say that when a girl is menstruating, which means she's 30, they just isolate her from other people. You will find that when they are experiencing that period there, they just isolate these girls maybe in a certain room. They don't allow them to come out. Then we have also another challenge regarding disposal facilities. We found that these girls here, when they are changing those parts, we have other schools where we don't have latrine. Also, economic barrier. What is happening now in South Sudan? Very, very hard even to get just maybe a coin so that you prepare your daughter to go to school.
UNICEF says around the world, menstrual health and hygiene needs are being overlooked due to limited access to information, education, products and services, as well as inadequate facilities and inequalities. In South Sudan, there are several groups and initiatives that are working to increase access to sanitary pads and improve menstrual hygiene management. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa reporting from Eastern Equatoria State Capital, Torit.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, reported cases of mpox in Africa are worrying health experts. Find out why after the break. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Health officials say while mpox cases are spreading in the Democratic Republic of Congo and across a number of countries in Africa, governments are stepping up measures to respond to the unprecedented surge of the epidemic. From Kenyan capital Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
Speaking during an online news briefing late Friday, experts from the World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention outlined a comprehensive response plan to contain the mpox outbreak. Matshidiso Moeti from Botswana is the WHO Regional Director for Africa.
Following the declaration of mpox as a public health emergency of international concern by WHO and a public health emergency of continental security by the Africa CDC, we are already working to scale up the operational response in affected countries, deploying some resources and experts close to the affected communities.
Moeti provided details on the operations.
In the DRC, we are intensifying our support and established in Goma an operational hub. We've been able to procure more than $1 million worth of key medical supplies that we are providing in the country. And we have mobilized and deployed our existing staff in the country, about 400 field staff already in the country, to support the key aspects of the response of what government is doing.
Last month, the WHO declared mpox a public health emergency of international concern due to the rapid spread of the epidemic. The outbreak is concentrated in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but the virus has also spread further across several other African countries. On Friday, Kenya reported its fifth case of mpox. Mary Mudhoni is the principal secretary for the Kenya Ministry of Health.
It was involving a 29-year-old female from Mombasa. The patient is currently in isolation. So while the patient has no recent travel history to a country reporting mpox case, the spouse had recently traveled to Rwanda. In the last 24 hours, we have screened more than 17,000 people at all ports of entry in Kenya.
The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, says thousands of children in the Democratic Republic of Congo and neighboring countries are at significant risk of contracting the mpox virus as cases continue to surge. Since the start of 2024, DRC has reported over 5,000 confirmed mpox cases, with more than 635 associated deaths, the Africa CDC reports. However, experts say the actual numbers could be higher. The Africa CDC is the public health agency of the African Union. Confirmed mpox cases have been detected in several countries, including Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, and South Africa. Cases have also been found recently in Sweden and Thailand. The patients had recently traveled to Africa. Yesterday, DRC received the first shipment of 99,100 doses of mpox vaccine from the European Union and is expected to kick off a vaccination campaign aimed at curbing the rising epidemic. Africa CDC officials say an additional 100,900 doses are expected on Saturday. Previously known as monkeypox, mpox is an infectious disease caused by a virus transmitted from animals to humans, with cases often found close to tropical rainforests where there are animals that carry the virus. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
And it's time for listener comments. And we begin with Samuel Remo Inye, who writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. The Africa-China cooperation meeting in China was a good idea, but my blame goes to young Africans who go abroad and specialize in different fields and refuse to bring back home the acquired knowledge to the continent, which could offer opportunities to millions of young African graduates who are seeking employment. This will reduce high cost of living because of bulk circulation of US dollar in African countries." Daniel Ariak. Michael in Yei Town writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. The China-Africa Cooperation Forum and the investment trademark is cementing a foundation that strengthens the socio-economic ties between China and Africa. This investment forum will boost up economic and development growth in some African countries, especially South Sudan. Our president's visit to China means a lot to South Sudanese who need key investors and developmental opportunities in the country. We also hope that the president's visit will highlight the existing wealth of natural resources that requires experts and experienced investors to make use of them and create economic relations between China and South Sudan." Thomas Kuntok from Old Fangak County, Jonglei State writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. The consequences of flood in Fangak State is horrible. On the 4th of September, Wednesday night at 7:30, a local canoe capsized in Paguer Payam River. The local canoe departed from Old Fangak Payam to Paguer Payam. 6 passengers, 2 men, 3 children, and their mother. 3 children drowned all, and 2 men and the mom survived. My condolences to the family of the deceased and the entire Fangak community as whole." Mading Malual Aluang in Juba writes, "The absence of formal summons for the 3 ministers of National Security, Defense, and Foreign Affairs to be questioned about the incident raises doubts about Parliament's commitment to its constitutional role. The Ugandan incursion in South Sudan's territory constitutes a clear violation of national sovereignty, which demands a decisive response from the government and an explanation from the executive officials before representatives of the people. The parliament's failure to summon these ministers clearly reflects its lack of political competence in exercising its oversight role." Majok Roy Majok from Mayom County in Choi Duir Boma writes, "The biggest surprise in South Sudan is that land encroachment by its neighbors Uganda and Sudan. RSF rebel forces were spotted in Raja County, where in central Equatorial State and eastern Equatorial State, villagers are being forced to leave their belongings while SSPD military are just watching their civilians being brutally tortured and their belongings taken away by UPDF soldiers from Uganda. This is a total insult to South Sudan government." Gabriel Padur in Akobo writes, "John, the issue of airspace still in the hands of Sudan's control is a taboo to South Sudanese. I really appreciate the Minister of Transportation for an initiative to take over the control of South Sudan's airspace. Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of the Voice of America or the South Sudan in Focus. Send your brief text and voice messages to +1 202-638-8011 and we shall sample some of them every Friday. We now leave you in a dancing mood with the song Malenge by Extra Musica. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Wang, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Yes, I'm a little bit of a